Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Standing against common attack, session 3, breaking out of sadness. There is the last two sessions that we've done, we've covered a couple of major things that we will all face in this life, unfortunately. One is offense. It's a reality. All of you, if you've not been offended in the last week, your time is coming. You will have to face offense, and you need to win it, because that's a real big one. We spent a whole session talking about the importance, the danger of offense, and how to overcome it. Second, we talked about the issue of being overwhelmed or having worry, anxiety, and those things all kind of coming together. And that's another common way that the enemy hits us. All of us have felt that way before at a time or two in our life, or maybe even more than that. And the enemy's desire is to use these common forms of attack to take us out. That's actually the purpose of the enemy, is not just to cause us problem, to cause us ache, but actually to wind up causing us to be fruitless and put us on the sideline so that we would no longer be able to minister, we would no longer be able to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And the last major one that we're going to at least touch on in this series is this issue of depression. Now, I recognize that depression is an evil, evil monster. My intention tonight is not to tell us that we're bad when we are attacked with depression. It's just the opposite. It's instead to tell us how to stand up underneath those attacks when depression comes. Even those that have experienced depression as a major issue in their life will tell you that there are times when it's more intense than other times. And so for all of us, when the times are intense, when the sadness is overwhelming, I want to give us some tools tonight to help us to know how to stand. You know, the strength of the Ephesians 6 passage that we covered in the last session tells us that demons are real. And that's actually very helpful if we're going to know how to fight against common areas of attack. Because if we think we're fighting against people or circumstances, we'll fight one way. But if we actually recognize that there's a demonic spirit that is coming against us, we will fight that battle very differently. And demons are real, and they fight dirty. And every one of these that we've been looking at, overwhelm, offense, the issue of depression, these things are evil plots of the enemy to take us out. They're painful. They're schemings against us in order to make us feel so small, unable to feel so disconnected, to feel so enraged. These things are intended to take us out, and they are the attacks of the enemy. And to know that we're fighting these things helps us to know how to stand. When we experience heightened negative emotions coming against us, such as sadness, despair, depression, I want us to recognize this. Any of you who have felt those things in the last week or last year of your life, sadness, depression, despair, hopelessness, that's not you. That's a demonic attack against you. That's not you. Now, part of the reason I can stand here and say that is because the Word of God tells us to take heart, to be encouraged, to be of good cheer, to not let those things beat us down. And it couldn't tell us to do those things if it were impossible to stand against those things. You don't have to fall on your face in the place of sadness and despair and depression. And when the enemy comes against us, if we recognize the next time that you're struggling with hopelessness, if you recognize you're not just struggling with your emotions, you're not just struggling with you had a bad day or a bad circumstance, if you recognize I am in a spiritual fight against a demonic spirit, then you can fight that thing and you can overcome and not lose to it. If you recognize that you're in a fight, and I'll tell you this, this depression demon, it's not a wimpy thing. I mean, it's got some muscles on its arms. So you're going to have to stand, you're going to have to fight a little bit. This is not one that just falls over easily, one that you can chase off simply. But it is one that you can stand against. It is one that you can win, you can overcome. In the name of Jesus, you can overcome depression and sadness and hopelessness and despair, because it's a demonic force. And what happens is that arrow hits you, and all of a sudden now you're filled. A moment ago you had a little bit, but now you're filled with sadness. All of a sudden you're overwhelmed with depression. In a moment, you went from okay to not okay. It's a demonic arrow that hits you. And you can stand against it. You don't have to bow in the face of depression, in the face of hopelessness and sadness and despair. I'm not saying those things aren't real. They are real. They are real. I've known many people that are precious to me that have struggled with this in a major way. It is a real deal. I just want to tell you who you're fighting. It's not you. It's not your circumstance. It's not a bad day. It's not just your emotional, you know, genetic makeup. You're fighting a demon called depression. And it's coming against you to take you out. And you can stand against it so that you don't have to walk in that. You don't have to live in that. You don't have to stay there. But again, it's a big bouncer standing at the door. And you're not going to just blow and he's going to fall over. You're going to have to fight. But if you'll fight the way the scripture says, you will win. You will win against depression. You will win against anxiety. You will win against offense. You will win against lust. You will win against, when these things come against you, you will win if you fight the way that the scripture says. But if you don't, it's a big bouncer at the door. And he's already got the doorway covered. He already owns it. You're going to have to get him out of that door. And sometimes it's difficult. I'm not saying we don't have a fight. I'm not downplaying the reality of the pain of these things. I'm just saying we don't have to lose to them because we're fighting spirits that we have authority over in the name of Jesus. When depression comes, it's so mean. But if we can recognize that we're fighting against something that we can actually take authority over, this will help us significantly. When depression comes, it cripples us. Depression lies to us. Depression uses our emotions against us. It separates us from people. What a mean thing. It separates us from people. We were never intended to be separate from the body of Christ. We were always intended to be in fellowship and in relationship all the whole way through. Depression separates us and puts us on the sideline and separates us from friends and family and others in the body of Christ. It lies to us. It uses our own emotions against us. Of course, it's normal to have emotions, but I'm talking about those heightened emotions. I'm not talking about you're a little sad about something. I mean, you're overwhelmed with sadness to the point of despair and hopelessness. The enemy uses these things against us, turns our own emotions against us in order to dictate our actions, in order to dictate our thought processes, separating us from people. It tells us that things are hopeless. The meanest thing about depression is that it paints a picture that it will always be that bad and worse forever, and there's no hope. You might as well just lay over and die. The enemy lies to us. The Lord says that he has plans for us to give us a future and a hope. The Lord tells us that he desires for us to be a part of his kingdom. The Lord tells us that we're his friends. The Lord tells us all of these truths, and the enemy comes in and he lies, and he's in the moment where that arrow of depression hits you in the side, and now there's this heightened emotional response of despair and hopelessness and all this just this fear that it will always be that way. The enemy is trying to take you out by lying to you and telling you it will always be this way. It won't. The heightened emotional despair actually won't last very long at all. A few hours, maybe a day or two, maybe. That heightened sense. I don't mean that you won't always have to fight off certain things. I mean that heightened. You guys know the difference? The difference in when I'm talking about, you know, I'm a normal human being, so I've got all the emotions that you do too. And so I always struggle a little with this and a little with that. But I'm talking about there are times when something comes against me and I'm not struggling. I am totally overwhelmed, about to give in and do something stupid struggling. It's a demonic attack. It's an arrow from the enemy. We've got to pull that thing out. We've got to get good at this. A significant portion of God's lot for each one of you can actually be hindered by how you respond or don't respond when an arrow is fired at you. There is a significant amount of the allotment that God has ordained for you in this life that can be robbed from you if you allow the arrows of the enemy to hit you and you do nothing about them and you just allow offense to fester, anxiety, overwhelm, depression. If you allow these things to stay in you, the enemy will rob you of things God wants you to have, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But we've got to fight. I want us to realize that we don't have to give into that depression thing. And I want us to see a clear biblical strategy for how to fight in the spirit tonight. Give you a little bit on hardship. You know, the problem is, life isn't always perfect, awesome, fun, exciting. Get any amens on that one? It's not always epic. I like that word. I like to pretend that it's always epic, but it's just not. You're gonna go through hardship. That's life. But that's life for the Apostle Paul. That's life for the beggar on the street. That's life for a king in another nation. That's life for somebody 2,000 years ago or 50 years from now. That's just life. Hardship is real. It's written into the playbook of humanity, into the playbook of life. Now, what that tells me is that hardship isn't our problem. Difficulty is actually not our issue. The problem is the enemy is lurking, and he's waiting for your hardship. He's so excited that it's finally time for you to go through a hardship. And he's waiting right there so that as you enter into your hardship, which isn't your problem, he gives you a problem. He fires a demonic arrow at you to cause you in the midst of your hardship to now be sad about your hardship, to now be mad about your hardship, to now be angry about your hardship, offended about your hardship, anxious about your hardship, depressed about your hardship. Hardship isn't your problem. The problem is you have a very crafty enemy who's standing waiting for your hardship. And when it comes, he fires these darts at you that are powerful heighteners of emotion, and they're filled with lies. And he fires them right at the moment that you go through your hardship. And if you're not able to distinguish the difference between the hardship and the arrow, and most of the time, we just don't see it. Most of the time, we think that it's the same thing. I feel so overwhelmed because of this thing that's happening to me. No, you feel overwhelmed because the enemy fired an arrow at you when that thing happened to you. Paul was in prison, and he's singing songs. Prison wasn't his problem. Anxiety, offense about the people that put him into prison for trying to preach the gospel. Those would have been his problems. Depression, he's sitting in prison. It's been so long. Depression would have been his problem. Being in prison wasn't his problem. God put him in prison. God will put you in prison too. And that won't be your problem. Your problem will be the enemy is standing there firing arrows at you to get you to accuse God. To get you to lay down and just be depressed and get the tar kicked out of you. The enemy is standing with the arrows already in the bow, ready, waiting for your moment of hardship. Hardship is not your problem. And it's not my problem. The problem is there's an enemy who's very smart. And he stands lurking, waiting for your hardship to begin. And that's when he fires arrows. God allows hardship. Hardship from the Lord, and I'm going to read you scripture here in a second. Hardship comes from God. And he's got a very different intention of what that hardship is supposed to do in your life than what the enemy intends for that hardship to do in your life. The Lord's desire is to use the hardship to train you, to mature you, to strengthen you, to take things that are weak and to build them up in you. God ordained purposes for your hardships that God tailor-made for you. The enemy, however, looks at those hardships as an opportunity to get you to curse God, to get you to become ineffective, to get you to abandon your calling, to get you to lay down on the purposes of God, to get you to give up, to get you to be soft, to get you to compromise, to get you to become depressed, offended, and overwhelmed, and to take you out of the game. And it's the exact same hardship. God designed for good, the enemy desires for evil. Look at this verse. Got Hebrews here, 12, 7 through 11. Endure hardship as discipline, the writer of Hebrews says. This is crazy. Discipline is like when you do something wrong and you need to like be disciplined so that you'll, you know, walk straighter, stronger. Paul or whoever it is that the author of Hebrews is, says, endure hardship as discipline. Well, wait a minute, this hardship I'm going through doesn't have anything to do with I did something stupid and I'm getting disciplined. Yeah, just pretend like it is. Can you just do that? Can you just pretend? You've got a good imagination? Just pretend the hard thing you're going through right now is God disciplining you because he likes you. Can you pretend? He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. This Bible verse doesn't say endure discipline as discipline. It says pretend that all of your hardships are discipline from the Father and respond to hardships like it's discipline from God. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. You're not true sons. You're not daughters at all. Submit to the Father of spirits and live. God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is interesting to me. The author of Hebrews makes the concept of hardship sound so normal. Like, no duh. Yes, you will go through hard times. Well, my hard times are different than my neighbor's hard times. Of course they are. They are your hard times. They're designed for you. So they have to look different than your neighbor's hard times. Well, but my hard times are this, my hard times. Yes, I get it. You're going to go through hardship. Endure it as discipline from the Father. And if you call yourself a son or a daughter of God, then recognize that God is using this for your good because he likes you. What this also tells me is hardship is not our problem. Because if the hardship is from God, if the hardship is intended to train us, if the hardship is intended that we would come out stronger on the other end, come out a better person, come out more godly, I love what it says here. It says, he disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in his holiness. Hardship is so that you'll share in the holiness of God. God wants you holy so bad, he'll let bad things happen to you. He'll let you go through difficulties. He'll let all kinds of things that you don't want to happen to you in order that you might share in his holiness. And this tells me that the hardship is not our problem. It's what happens in the midst of the hardship. And that is we get distracted and we begin to look at the circumstance instead of the God who's allowing this thing to happen for our benefit. We get distracted because we get an arrow of depression in us and we start to feel saddened. The Lord allowed the circumstance. He did not send the arrow of depression. Cast the arrow of depression out in Jesus' name. Don't cast the situation out. Don't cast the hardship out. Don't go, oh God, you got to get rid of this hardship or I'll die. You won't die. He won't give you more than you can handle. Fight all of your fight against the enemy instead of against God or against your circumstance. God brought the hardship. It's okay. It's all right. He wants you holy. And the only way to get us holy is to allow us to go through a little bit. It's not so fun. It's the only way. It's okay. put all of your energy into not giving in or buying into the lies of the enemy, because the enemy fires an arrow at the same day that the Lord allows a hardship to begin. The enemy fires the arrow. Learn to discern the difference. What is the circumstance and what is my emotion right now? Why am I feeling so supercharged in a negative way? I feel so superly negative right now. Why? Because the enemy has fired an arrow at you. Pull that thing out. A couple things I've learned about a few different hardships that I've gone through, and I think these are fairly universal. Trials always last longer than we want them to. They always last longer than we want them to. I hate that. I could do anything for 15 minutes. It's 15 days I don't like, and it's never 15 days. 15 years. It's always longer than you want it to be. It's always longer. The trial is never as short as you want. Woo, glad we got through that. That was quite a trial, friends. Didn't work that way. That trial is going to come. It's going to be a hardship. It's going to last longer. It's going to be more trying than you want it to be. And if we just know that on the front end, then don't look for the easy out. Oh, I'm sure this will be over in a day. It probably may be a little longer. Because that's just kind of how trials work. Another thing I've learned is that every trial has lessons woven into it that are actually God's intention for me to learn and mature and come out stronger as a result. Every single trial, every difficulty, there's things about the nature of God. There's things about my own human nature. There's things about how to fight the enemy. There's things about my life. There's lessons about just life and godliness and how to be a Christian. There are lessons written into every single trial. And just because you went through the trial does not mean you learned those lessons. In fact, I can think back on some trials. I didn't learn a thing. And it's because I was so concerned with getting the trial over. I was so giving in to the enemy, maybe in the area of offense or anxiety or depression, that I actually missed things that God had written into that story, that chapter of the book, that I completely missed. And I wonder if I might have to go through a different trial later on to pick up those lessons I was supposed to pick up in that chapter. Here's another one. I don't think we can speed up the process. I used to think so. I used to think, well, if I can just get the lesson fast enough, then this whole thing will go away. You know, I'll just be a really good student. I will learn the three lessons on day one. And by day two, this trial will be in my rearview mirror. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Trials have assigned timelines. Hardship. It has assigned timelines. God's got a start date and an end date, and I just don't think there's much you can do to mess with it. Maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100. But most of the time, I don't think you can actually change how long the trial goes on. I think God has defined the parameters of how long that trial is going to go on. It's going to last this long, and that's good for you. I always try to hurry it up. I always just want it over with. I see that I'm on day one of the trial, and I'm just convinced that I can just make it go faster. Listen, I have been trying very hard for 15 years. I have not gotten one to end sooner. And in fact, it just seems like they drug on because I'm all in like fourth gear trying to get the thing over with. Just settle in. It's not going anywhere until God says it's going somewhere. And in the meantime, you're just going to waste all your engine and fuel and fumes on trying to make the thing get over with quicker. Well, how does that have to do with depression? If you can know on the front end that bad things are normal, bad is normal. Hard times are coming. So are good times. Got good news for you. Good times are coming. And then another bad time. And then the next season, you'll have both, and it'll be really confusing. Because you look on your left, and it's good. You look on your right, it's horrible. You go, I guess it's a wash. Good times and bad times are coming. If you know that hardship is coming, and if you know there's nothing you can do about making that hardship get over with faster, and if you can instead just focus on the lessons that the Lord has for you in the midst of the trial, and if you can instead learn that you've got a season, and it's as long as God says it is, that you've got to fight off depression, that pain of hopelessness, the despair, those arrows that the enemy is going to fire that are in relationship to that specific trial, if you just know, it's not going to last forever. And this arrow really isn't going to have any impact on me later on. I've just got to learn how to fight it right now. If you can learn how to do that, then you can overcome. I want to give you the battle strategy here. Well, wait, one more piece here. That there's strength and hope in the name of Jesus. You know what I get to do a lot of counseling. I travel a little bit, and you know, whenever the traveling minister comes into town, he's always the one people want to talk to because there's no recompense on whatever that conversation looks like. You know, they can say whatever they want to the traveling minister. You know, and so you normally only get about a tenth of the story too, by the way. But I get to counsel sometimes, you know, out. I get to counsel, you know, with those in our midst and those that I'm in close relationship with and in connection with around the prayer room and different relationships. Here's my point. From having a lot of conversations, here's the common thing that I note. People are trying to fix their problems by themselves, and they're trying to think their way out of their issues. And we've talked about this a little bit already, so I won't spend a lot of time here. But I want to remind us of who our source is. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3 says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is speaking about Jesus and the Father sending Jesus. It says, the Father has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release of darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn and provide the oil of joy instead of mourning and the garment of praise in the place of despair. The Lord's desire regarding the issue of depression is to be there for us. We run to friends too quickly. Friends have a great place in our life. They just don't have the first place. We run to those that we feel like will have spiritual insight for us too quickly. I appreciate having spiritual insight in my life. I know who I call when I'm in need. But I never go there first. We've got to start going to the source of comfort instead of looking to others to comfort us. Others will comfort, but that's supposed to be supplemental. That's like the dessert. It's not the meal. We've got to start getting our strength and our source and our supply from God. And when we lean on Him, look at this. This is Jesus assessing Jesus's assignment in life. This is Jesus talking about the commission that the Father gave Jesus. He says this, the Father sent me to bind up brokenheartedness. I am the one who has the solution to your broken heart. I am the one that has the solution to your depression. I am the one who wants to comfort those who mourn. It says, to comfort those who mourn. Provide joy in the place of mourning. Praise instead of heaviness. We need to begin to start to look at Jesus in this way for real. And the application is so simple. Are you going through it? Talk to God about it a lot. Talk to people a little, and talk to yourself none. Talk to God a lot, talk to people a little, and stop talking to yourself about the issue altogether. Stop having the conversation in your head. Talk to people a little bit, but talk to God a whole lot more and ask Him to be this for you. Say, God, heal my broken heart. I am depressed. I feel hopeless. I have despair. What if we spent all the time we're used to talking to people and ourselves? What if we spent all that time talking to the source of comfort? Talking to the one who promises to mend broken hearts. Promise the one who's promised to give us joy in the place of despair and heaviness. What if we spent all the time that we are used to having phone calls with one another, used to talking to ourselves as we're driving down the road? What if we spent all that time talking to God instead? I think we would find him as our source of comfort. I appreciate discipleship. We're going to keep doing it around here. But let me tell you the biggest piece of discipleship. Whoever you have in your life that's helping you along, I am grateful for those people. But they are not God. And they cannot fix your problem. They can't do anything for you. They're just as broken as you are. All they can do is listen. And it's good to have somebody who will listen and who will pray for you and who'll give you $5 to go to Wendy's. I appreciate all of that. But that isn't God, and that isn't going to fix your problem. You need God. And I think we've raised up a sissy culture. I think we're so used to having it all just handed to us. No, you got to fight. Fight through that depression. Fight through that depression by encountering the God of comfort, by pressing into the one who promises to mend your broken heart, to get you out of the despair, to help you to overcome the hopelessness. But you've got to press in. I just wonder, what if you stopped just short? I mean, 5 minutes short. That conversation, that prayer time, that crying out to God, that going on the night walk and asking God to mend your broken heart. What if you stopped 5 minutes short of the breakthrough of God coming and bringing you comfort? Because he says, Jesus, talking about his assignment, the assignment the Father gave him, the Father sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom. I have been commissioned by the Father to do that for you. We've got to look to Jesus as our source of supply, who can help us with this. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the battle strategy. How do we stand against attack? This will work for depression. It'll work for anxiety. It'll work for lust. It'll work for anger. It'll work for offense. It'll work for confusion. It'll work for whatever it is that's coming against you. This strategy will work, but you got to actually apply it. Here it is. Most of your life happens in your head. It happens between your ears. The majority of your problems and your victories start and end in your brain. You see something, it triggers something, you start thinking about something. Now there's a problem. And you're processing, what do I do with that problem? Something good happens, awesome, something triggers. It's in your mind, this is great. And while it's great and you're interacting with friends for a few minutes, you're leaving there, but life didn't stop. It's still going on between your ears. The majority of your entire existence happens in your brain. And if we can learn to get a bit of control over what's going on in here, we can get a whole lot more handle on what's happening out here. The majority of your life happens between your ears. And we don't have to lose. That was the whole reason that Paul gave us the Ephesians 6 passage. You need to get that Ephesians 6 passage written on your heart. I don't mean that you can quote it. That's maybe a starting point. I mean that you believe it, that you apply it. You go, I am fighting a battle against spiritual forces. We need to get that written on us, because the reason Paul gave us that passage in Ephesians 6, and really, Paul wasn't that smart. The Holy Spirit gave us Ephesians 6. And the reason the Holy Spirit gave us Ephesians 6 is because you don't have to lose spiritual battles. You're intended to win them. Demons are real. Demons attack. You're intended to win 100% of the battles. 100%. That doesn't mean you will, because you got to fight. I know there's days where you just don't feel like fighting. Then you're going to lose. Stand up and fight. You got to fight. You got to fight. If you'll fight, you'll win. You don't have to lose. That's the reason the Holy Spirit gave us Ephesians 6, to tell us how to fight those battles, overcome, and win, so we don't have to be the victim. We can be the victor. That's why we have that. That's an important thing for you to know. You don't have to lose the battle today, tomorrow, next week, next year. You don't have to lose it. We've been given the equipment to be able to overcome, to fight it, and to win. Next piece. It's really the same piece. You need to identify you're in a spiritual fight. I just want to encourage you. Whatever it is you're struggling with right now, I want to encourage you to recognize the reality that you're in a spiritual fight and not up against circumstances. Your circumstances aren't your problem. The spiritual battle that you're in is your issue. If you will recognize that, then you can start to fight. But if you don't recognize that, you'll already lose. I'm talking about your problem right now, the one you're thinking about. Well, I don't know if this applies. It applies. That's the one I'm talking about. That one. Yeah, now you're all smiling. You go, oh, me? Yeah, you. Yeah. The one you're thinking about right now that couldn't possibly be a spiritual battle, it's a spiritual battle. Identify that it's a demon you're fighting and start fighting the demon instead of your problem. And you will win. Take captive your thoughts. Take thought your captives. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. This is so important. This is how you do it. This is the answer. This right here. This is the answer of how you overcome. Once you've identified you're in a spiritual fight, you're in a spiritual battle, here's how you win. As soon as you realize you're under attack, cast out that thought in the name of Jesus. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Look at this. Look at what Paul says. This guy was so wise. He just understood stuff. You know how he understood 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10-3, 3-5? Because he had to fight it the same way. He was giving you insight into what he does on a Tuesday. This isn't only Holy Spirit download from heaven. This is life under the sun for guys like the Apostle Paul and gals like you. It's just normal stuff. He says this. He says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. This is what he's saying. We live in the world. The world fights according to a set of principles. Don't pay attention to any of those principles. They don't matter. We don't fight like the world fights. The world fights, and we're down here, but the way we fight battles isn't at all like the way that the world fights battles. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds like depression and anxiety and shame and lust and perversion. They have divine power. They have power from God, power from heaven. They have power, power. You're under it right now? You're feeling oppressed? You're feeling attacked? There's demonic power coming against you? Right. You'll need divine power to overcome demonic power. And if you try to fight any other way, you'll lose. Because you're fighting against real demonic power. And Paul says, it's a good thing that we've got weapons from heaven with divine power to demolish strongholds. Demolish them. Totally dismantle them. Yeah, but this thing's a stronghold in my life. Good, let's get rid of it. Let's deal with it with divine weapons that have power to demolish, completely dismantle, destroy, uproot, remove, that completely dismantle that issue in your life. You're up against demonic power. We are offered divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments. Oh, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about strongholds. Yeah. You want to know what a stronghold is? Arguments that you've lost already. That's what a stronghold is. Well, I'm depressed. No, you were attacked with depression, and when depression came and argued with you, you gave in, and you said, yes, I guess I'm depressed, and now that argument has won against you, and it's now a stronghold. But we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and here's how we do it, folks. We take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. Your entire life is lived between your ears, your mind, your will, your emotions. You are actually significantly more in control than you have any revelation of right now. And God says this, through Paul, giving us the reality about the demonic fight, about the warfare of the Holy Spirit within and the demonic forces coming and oppressing us. He says this, you have the power through God to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments, to dismantle lies. You have the power. How do we have the power, Paul? By taking those thoughts captive and telling them to go in the name of Jesus and stop thinking about those thoughts. You have the power. It is a divine power from heaven, the strength of God, to take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Does Christ want you depressed? No. Then make it obedient to him. Depression, I will not submit to you. In the name of Jesus, you go. It didn't go away? It's because it's a big bouncer at the door. Say it again. Didn't go away? Say it again. Don't stop. Don't give in. Don't let up. I am going to make you obedient to Christ. I am going to make you. You don't feel like it? I'm going to make you obedient to Christ. I'm going to fight this fight like my life depends on it, because it might. I am going to fight this fight like my life depends on it, and I'm going to take that thought captive, and I'm going to say, no. No. In the name of Jesus, no. And you're going to take it, and you're going to submit it. You're going to take it. It's in your head. You have control in there. You can take that thought, and you can make it obedient, and you can cast it out. No, depressing thought. I'm not going to think about you. I'm going to think about lollipops. Because lollipops don't make me depressed. And I'm not thinking about you. Or you could choose to think about it, and then no lollipops for you. It's really that simple. I know that sounds silly. You can think about suckers. You have the power right now. Imagine the sucker. There it is. What color? Orange? Grape? What'd you guys get? You had a sucker in your head that quick because you thought about it on purpose. Take thoughts captive that snuck into your city. The city called your brain, your fortress called your mind. Fiery arrows were launched over the wall called depression, anxiety, fear, lust, anger, offense. They were launched over the wall and they do not belong in that city. Take them captive and throw them out the front door. You have control over your brain. We don't have to fall prey to depression or anxiety or whatever it is. We've got to learn to take our thoughts captive. And I'll admit that sometimes they don't want to go in a minute. Fight harder. Fight longer. You will overcome. But not if you stop fighting. You guys ever seen a boxing match? One of the guys just gets tired. That goes real well for him. He just gets pummeled. A right, a left, a hook, a jab. He's gone. Well, I got tired. Well, whatever you do while you're in the ring, don't get tired. Find a way to press on. Yeah, but I'm so tired. Would you rather die? Fight, man, fight. Take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ right now. Are you struggling with depression? Are you struggling with anxiety? Are you struggling with whatever? Take the thought captive and tell it it will obey in Jesus' name. Make it submit to the name of Jesus. This works. When I've done this, it works. When I don't recognize that I need to do this, I'm unnecessarily beat up. When I don't feel like it, yeah, I guess it's probably a demonic attack, but I'd rather just sit here and get beat up than I get beat up. I'm just like you. I got good days and bad days. My point isn't to tell some story or paint some picture that I've never messed up like this. It's to tell you this. You don't have to. Not once. Never. You have power over your brain, and your entire world happens in your head. And you can take those thoughts captive, and you can make them obedient to Christ. And when you do, those things have to submit in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Don't call out to others or to this or to that if you're not calling out to God a whole lot more. Ask God for help. Take those thoughts captive. Tell him, you will line up and you will be obedient. I'll tell you, the biggest way that the enemy wins is by convincing you that he is not there. Why would I take this thought captive? It's my thought. Well, then you lost. Because you're not trying to take anything captive because you've been tricked into believing that the enemy's not lurking in those shadows. He fired that thought into your brain. Now you can leave it in there or you can get rid of it. You can convince yourself that, it's just me, bad day, hard times, rough life, I've got this wrong. This makes sense that I'd feel this way, think this way, want this, want that. It just makes sense. As long as you reason yourself into that, the enemy wins. But if you will get violent, you get fired up, like you're in a real war, like you're in a real spiritual fight, and you'll really fight that thing like your life depends on it, you will win. It may take a little bit of time. You will win. You will win. And I have a feeling that the Lord wants, because we're all so young in this, the Lord wants you to see a measure of victory. If you'll start doing this on a consistent basis every time, a lustful thought, an anxious thought, an angry thought gets fired into your brain, you go, no, no, in Jesus' name, go. And you get violent about it. You'll start to see some victory pretty quick, and it will fill you with faith for the bigger bouncer at the door next time, because you'll have seen it work. But you got to fight. We got to actually believe that demons are real and actually believe that we can overcome them. Romans 8:37 says this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Notice again, war language. Bouncer at the door, I am more than a conqueror. You're out of here, buddy. But if that just sounds silly to you, then you won't do it. And you'll lose, because that bouncer's really at that door because he's real. There really are demons, and they're really coming against you, and they're really causing you a tremendous amount of headache. But if you'll instead take your thoughts captive and then begin to quote the scripture over yourself, over your situation, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to die in this depression. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he who's in me than he was in the world. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You start quoting scripture over yourself and over your circumstance. You start quoting scripture, there's power that will begin to unlock the lies. Jesus told us that, well, Paul, quoting the purposes of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, told us that it was for freedom's sake that we were set free. Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. We just read that passage in Isaiah. Jesus' desire is to allow truth to overcome lies. Every time an arrow from the enemy is fired, it's lies. Lies. And in my opinion, having lost a number of battles and won a few, in my opinion, it's not enough to just get rid of the arrow and now it's neutral. You got to fill in the hole in the ground where the arrow landed with truth. It's not just enough to get rid of the lie. You've got to now begin to stand on the truth. And the way that you do that is you quote the scripture, the truth of God, because truth will set you free. Truth will build you up. Truth will reestablish you. Truth will give you faith. The word of God will empower you. So the first thing you do is you identify you're in a fight. The second thing you do is you cast out those thoughts. The third thing you do is you begin to quote the scripture over yourself, over that situation, over your mind, over whatever, and allow the scripture to re-plumbline you, because you got disturbed a minute ago when that lie came and lied to you. It started to rock your boat. Get re-plumblined. Allow the word of God to wash over you and re-plumbline you to truth, to right thinking, to reality. Next one, begin to rejoice. Paul says it in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. This issue of rejoicing is essential to spiritual victory. I'm going to say it again. Everybody listen. The issue of rejoicing, thanking God, telling God that he is good, rejoicing over the 10 things that went right today instead of the one thing that went wrong. Rejoicing is essential to spiritual victory. It is essential because it takes your focus off your situation and your woe is me. And it puts your focus in the right place on the power of God and the goodness of the one who's even allowing the trial that the enemy fired the arrows in the midst of. Rejoicing is essential. Look what the word says. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that you would always be thankful. Always be thankful. Well, yeah, but today was really a rough day. I had this horrible thing happen to me. All the more reason for you to make up reasons to thank God. Because you had some bad stuff happen to you today. It sounds to me like you're at a deficit. Get back into the positive through thanksgiving. Get back into the positive through a thankful heart. Rejoice, and the Lord will give you grace. And the last point, ask God for his peace and his strength. Offense, anxiety, depression, they're all from the enemy. But God is our source of joy, strength, and peace. So we need to look to him so that we can gain what we need. Second part of that passage in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, yeah, that means the situation you're in right now, the terrible one where you're all upset, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's that thanksgiving again, present your requests to God, and here's the promise of God. Here's how you overcome spiritual difficulties. Here's how you overcome those attacks of the enemy. You present your request to God, you thank him for the good things that he's doing in your life, and then you ask him for his peace, and a peace will come upon you that transcends your circumstance. The peace of God which transcends all understanding. What's all understanding? Today was horrible. That's what understanding is. Do you know what happened to me? This thing was so bad, and that's not even half of it, because after that happened, then it really got bad. Do you have any idea? Do you have any understanding at all of what happened to me today? Then let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, come and guard your heart and your mind in Christ. And that will only happen when you thank God and present every situation to him with thanksgiving and petition. You say, God, help me. And he promises to help you. Remember the truth. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Don't let him own you. Don't let him tell you that it's always going to be this way. Remember the truth and quote it over yourself so that you can experience spiritual strength and you can come out of this thing. God's desire is for every one of us, every single battle, every single time, that we fight according to some simple warfare principles. We recognize it's a demon. We come back at it by taking our thoughts captive. That's really not even your thought. It was an intrusion. An intrusive thought came into your brain. Take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. Cast it out. Then begin to quote the scripture over yourself. Appeal to God who gives you strength and thank him through the process. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. And your situation doesn't even have to change, because it wasn't your problem to begin with. Your situation doesn't have to shift one bit, and you can be good to go, because the peace of God, which transcends your situation, it transcends your hardship, can come and guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Have everybody stand. I want to pray for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.